gather round, it's Mega Podcast 2000.
That's it. Got him. Oh, and he got him with the celebration, too. I love that one. People do it in the NFL, too. That was a good one. Yeah, that was
Morocco
good.
Has knocked out Spain, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Sorry y'all had to wait on that.
Say, Spain, it's okay. Y'all be going home with like us. It's all right.
Damn.
Since we last time we did this pod.
God, the US that is not the were, Spain I know.
We're in this, but we lost Saturday after we did the pod to the Netherlands.
We were so bad.
They smoked us.
No, it wasn't after we did the pod. I remember it was early. Yeah, it was in the Saturday. Morning.
It was Saturday.
Oh, we did the
pod.
After,
yeah, after. Come on. We did the pod on Thursday. Well, there Tuesday,
was that pod then, where we.
Yeah, we did it on Wednesday or Thursday, but the US game was on Saturday at 9 because I watched it at work.
Yeah,
I was watching it at work.
Y'all, you have nothing. There's nothing you could say. If you miss all your shots.
Yeah, all.
Not to mention you went to PKs with Morocco.
I think Japan and Spain are probably going to be really mad at themselves because that was probably the worst PKs I've ever seen.
Are you getting calls for voting?
Yes, texts and calls. I'm getting both.
People, apparently today's voting day from what they said. I voted, so I don't care. But it's lighting up the interweb. Same as this artificial intelligence.
I haven't done one yet. I haven't jumped on that bandwagon. And I won't.
Linza. To me, it's the beginning. I think, you know, it's definitely a trend right now, but it is.
It's a big trend.
It ain't going anywhere. If anything, it's going to take over.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to talk about it. I don't know. Have you seen any of your graphic artist friends complain about it?
Not complain, like, as like, what is it? I've seen people say, well, here's the ones that don't look like me. And then the ones that don't look like them that they post. So, yeah, but not like necessarily
I had some
like
funny ass ones.
Not necessarily like, I hate this or nah, nothing like that.
Yeah.
No.
Dude, they just praise Allah. Oh, poor baby.
Oh, yeah. And we're filming. So it totally looks like we're staring at the camera again.
My thing is like, if you have a poor performance like that, honestly, there's almost like nothing. I think it's easy to walk away from that.
Why is the goalpost made out of sticks in the commercial? I don't understand that. Like,
they live in the desert.
They don't have a real goalpost. I mean, because I'm just saying, man.
It's like, representing how they, I don't know.
Don't you think that's a little weird? I just see it every time I see it.
It's like racist or something.
I'm just saying, like, they use literally logs and stick to make a goalpost. I'm just saying, like, it's a nice commercial, and then you see that. It's like, you just don't want to put a regular goalpost there?
I guess not. I don't know. Maybe it goes with the scene. I don't know, man.
Usually when they look like India, right? It has a poor country, but actually it's one of the most fastest developed cities in the country, right? So just like, it is.
What are you talking about?
Like
Mumbai?
India, like, I'm just saying these third world countries, they are heavily invested in tech and like these in the city. Of course, outside their cities are poverty and sanitation issues, but for the most part, they're updated in the city, like in their city parts.
Qatar is an advanced city.
So they have a goalpost.
They also have super tall buildings.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is put a goalpost in the commercial, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I guess they're just trying to show like the history because I don't know. Maybe they were nomadic, you know, and they couldn't afford to take goalposts with them.
I don't know, man. I just feel like you should have one in there. That's all I'm saying.
Spain is out. Okay, back to AI. So, I did the AI portrait thing through Linza, and all these graphic artists are shook, man. They're shook. They're like, damn, this is going to put us out of business and all that. Also, this app, Linza, uses something called Stable Diffusion Open Source Model, which is the AI. It's free. So you can, like, send pictures to yourself. You have to do it on your PC to this Stable Diffusion open source thing, and it'll do it for you exactly what Linza does. Just Linza makes it very easy, and they charge you. So it's like $3.99 for the free trial. I think $7 when it's like normal. But you get like 50 pictures, blah, blah, blah. But graphic artists are shook. They're worried that they'll be put out of business. And honestly, they should be worried.
Yeah.
Because, maybe. I mean, think about it. It's like, why would I pay you $500 when I could pay $7 and have this awesome thing done? And like, 100 of them, you know?
True.
Like, as a consumer, why would I do, you know, why would I help? And I get it, like, support artists and all that, but it's like, God, it's such a goddamn bargain.
Yeah. I mean, I think they look cool, though, for the most part.
Yeah, imagine, I was trying to do, so you can do imagery as well, mm-hmm. and other ones where you type in stuff. And I was trying to do, like, a mega podcast logo, and just kept typing. It wasn't really working out, but...
It didn't work out?
Nah. Ah. But, I mean, it's... kind of better than hiring a graphic artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's true.
So they're all worried. And Lenza or open source, whatever, Stable Diffusion steals like millions of pictures offline. That's how it comes up with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like uses like Google Images and just soaks up like everything. Styles, like Picasso style, anything like that. Getty Images, Flickr, people's pictures, stock photos, it takes it all. So it's actually all stolen stuff that we are paying for. So I don't know. If this is the future, I feel like if you're complaining about it, you're like, remember Lars from Metallica with yeah. Napster?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't be a Lars. I feel like you're being a Lars, you know? Because
I can see that.
I'm sure when, like, photography came out,
mm-hmm.
they were like, wait, hold on, what's this about? Oh, I just got a text about Spain. yeah, when photography came out, I'm sure artists were like, oh, my God, my portrait job right. is out of business. Cameras got created, you know?
I mean, that's what you can say about Nikons. And, like, I have a Nikon high def camera or whatever, paid a lot of money for it. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, well, I got an iPhone, so
yeah.
kind of use my iPhone to take really nice pictures since it has a really nice camera on these yeah. phones now. So it's like, I could see that, you know?
It's just new technology.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting. The photos are hilarious. Give me some ganja. All right, let's get in this bitch.
First, I need the internet because I'm not on it again. I forgot what
oh,
it was.
Oh, fucking... Okay, hold on. So it's changed again.
Oh my gosh. Highlander. I was wondering why.
Go to Highlander.
I'm like, what is
on Wi-Fi?
What are y'all changing it for so much?
Oh, that was Jameson. Both times.
Is he like, is someone hacking y'all stuff or something?
No, he's just right. being too extra.
I got it. I'm in. Thank
he's
you.
Being extra.
I was just, why is he being extra?
Because he wired a landline mm-hmm. all the way to the back of the house.
He did that?
Yeah, drilled a hole. I mean, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it somehow fucked up the Wi-Fi.
Oh, damn.
It reset it. And then he didn't realize it was reset. I did.
Yeah.
And you went and figured out how I could get on Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, he changed the Wi-Fi name and password because he thought there was no Wi-Fi. But I've had to, I just had to re-sign onto that TV.
It sounds like it, the way you just almost put your hand to your head, it sounded like it was just too much.
Well, it's like, imagine having to reset all the Wi-Fi passwords to every device in the house.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that would
and be. Then like 2 days later, having to do it all again.
I wouldn't want to do that.
So anyway.
I got to do an interesting fact. Guess what came out 20 years to this date? What movie?
No idea.
I know. Equilibrium.
Oh, really?
To this date, do you think it was a flop or a success? I have the answer,
it was a flop.
Oh, it was one of the biggest flops of Christian Bale's career.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I like the movie.
It budgeted for $20 million. Guess how much it brought in domestic box office?
Like seven.
$1.2 million.
Oh. Because it was like I felt like it...
A writer said it hung on the coattails of Matrix pretty much. If you watched it, I've watched Equilibrium. So, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but, you know.
It came out in Not only did it hang on the coattails of the mm-hmm. Matrix, I feel like it was just completely blatantly copying the Matrix, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, but the gun kata, remember that? Gun. Where it's like,
It's just funny efficient. Because, yeah, because it's just funny because me and my brother actually like the movie, well, we so we're just kind of funny. I know, but like it's like, yeah, it's like, but I actually like it, but in all reality, yes, it's pretty much a carbon copy of The Matrix.
And it is fun, though. I mean, yeah. it's like 1984, yeah. You know, the art style, like, oh my God, he has art in his house. Mm-hmm. Oh, he quit taking his pills.
It can't, well, overseas it did $4 million. So that's a little bit better, but still, it budgeted for $20 million, bro. Like that's a lot when you only.
It's made its money back though.
Yeah,
because like it got put on Netflix. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever production company has made it back.
What would you recommend it to listeners to watch? How many swipes are we? I forgot since we don't keep ours histories wise. But what are you gonna do just for now? Since 20 days,
two. It's just a flat two.
Just a flat two, like.
I mean, yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, it was nothing. Yeah. I give it the same two. It's a flat two.
He like goes all the way to the top.
Yeah,
to the president.
Mm-hmm.
But the president knew everything that was happening.
The fight scenes were pretty lame too. Let me just be real. It was just
they were shot well. Like they like. They did that Matrix thing where have the dust all on you, mm-hmm. so when you hit you, like the dust would mm-hmm. pop off you.
Mm-hmm.
But
in the long trench coat,
yeah, oh yeah. Sean Bean dies in it. Mm-hmm. I think that was the quickest death he's ever had in a movie, and he dies in every movie. Yeah, the movie's great. That one in Gattaca, I feel like
Gattaca. Oh my gosh, that's a long movie.
That's
bro.
A double feature.
That's a double feature. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a part in the League. Shout out to the League. And shout out to the Duplass brothers. There's Ralphie who plays. This guy Ralphie, he is going paintball with the guys, and he's screaming out, "Gattaca!" And then the guys are like, "Has he ever seen that movie? I don't think if he seen it, he would be yelling it out." But the fact that he's just yelling it out while in a paintball war was hilarious.
Yeah,
because if you see that movie, like I say, like you wouldn't be shouting it out.
Why is he screaming Gattaca?
That's exactly what they say to the series too. Oh, they're like, "Why is he screaming Gattaca?"
It's about like fucking getting on a rocket.
Exactly. So it's just. It's hilarious. Shout out to the League. That's a freaking three power swipe series by the Duplass Brothers.
You mention it every other pod.
It's a classic, bro.
All right, let's get into this bitch for sure. Yeah. For real. This is going to be a real sloppy beginning for y'all. Sorry.
I mean,
all right,
it's a gloomy day, so I think we're afford to have this. We're living in Portland right now.
Yeah, it's been like this.
Mm-hmm.
No me gusta.
Yeah.
So Troll on Netflix, Dana has watched it.
Yeah.
What do you think of this kaiju
thriller? It starts in Norway. Let me go ahead and say it is shot cinematically amazing. I'm going to give the cinematography a power 3.
Okay.
Acting a 1.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, man.
That's bad.
I would recommend watching because it is actually a good story. The plot, everything else was well written. It's just that they needed to probably have, and I'm not even trying to diss Norway actors. It was just like, cause you can watch it overdub. It's like overdub when you watch it. You know what I'm saying? So like they have one American actor in there. It's the guy who was the Rocketeer. So shout out to him.
What?
Yeah. He looks super old in the, yeah. Whoa. Have you ever watched the original Rocketeer?
That's a banger. No, that's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Though.
So it's a movie about a guy who has a rocket and he pretty much is a superhero and the Nazis. And that guy is in this movie, the Troll. I haven't seen him since then. That's how I recognized him. So,
is he speaking English?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's the only English. Huh. That was the English part of the whole thing, and he's not even in it for the whole movie. So
he gets killed. Okay, hurt.
No, he doesn't get killed. No. He's just like a professor, and the girl that's actually who plays, I can't pronounce the names. I'm just, you know, because they're all Norwegian, and I'm not going to disrespect anybody's names.
You can disrespect a Norwegian.
I'm not going to
do it. They can handle it.
I'm not going to do it, but it's just it's a movie. It's really shot well, like I said, but the acting not so well. And it's about these big giant trolls who get trapped in the sunlight and they are turned into mountains essentially, right?
Hmm.
And I'm not going to be any spoilers, but the way they shot the trolls, I mean, they look amazing.
The CGI?
Yeah. So if I give, like I said, the cinematography is a power 3, but the trolls is a power 2. So when you think of a troll, you're thinking of something small, not like, but this one was a gargantuous, like,
yeah,
huge.
Well, they had a movie though, Troll Hunter,
and it's essentially based off a folk tale story from Norway. Yeah, so it's like essentially based off, like, you know, their culture of, you know, about trolls. And And so the story starts off, so they don't believe it, of course. Like, nah, it's just a fairy tale. We don't believe in this. And, of course, it comes to fruition.
Troll!
So it's 1 hour and 41 minutes. It's definitely a stop and watch. IMDb gives it a 5.9, 88% on Rotten Tomato. So if you combine those two, I feel like it's worth the watch. You know, like I said, it's shot cinematography-wise. Like, it's on Netflix top 10. I think it's number 2 or 3 on there. So I advise stopping and watching it. Like I said, cinematography is a power 3, acting is a 1, but it makes up for itself when you actually watch it and you see the troll. It makes up for all of it. You're like, just you're blown away.
Yeah.
You know, you'll forget about the acting. You'll just be like, damn, you'll just be like, man, if this had like, Shia LaBeouf or someone else, like, you know, just crazy Brad Pitt or something, like, you know, like, you'd be like, this movie would have been box office, like, World War crazy, II. You know, but. It was just, this is a Norwegian film, so the landscape's beautiful, you know, like, the scenery's awesome. So, yeah, listeners, I'm telling you, stop and watch it.
Yeah.
It's you won't be disappointed, you know, you see a lot of explosions, Norwegian mountains, you know, ancient trolls. It's just, you get a little bit of Norway experience watching it on Netflix.
But there was a movie, you never saw Troll Hunter?
I don't think so, not off the top of my head,
but look, I mean, it was similar, you know?
Oh yeah, dang, you're actually right,
it was good too.
Okay, like, well, I think you should watch it. I think you'll like it.
Well, that's why I was like, that looks, I wondered if it was like a sequel.
I don't, if they did, they didn't mention anything like you usually do in movie when they pay homage to that.
Like,
that
wasn't kind of how it looked,
and it looked, they kind of like, but in the folklore when they're showing you in the movie, they look like that. They're showing you the books where it looks like that. They're like, it kind of
I just remember they'd go, troll.
So they, like, essentially they get pretty much stuck, and that's how they turn into mountains. So you can really even see them. So the whole point is, you're supposed to believe, and then you can, like.
But then, you know, once every 45 years, a certain moon comes up.
Well, something
up.
Happens to where it awaits.
Okay.
They're doing some type of excavation. Let me say that.
Ah, classic.
And then something pow happens, and you're like, whoa. And even the way it pops off, you're like,
yeah,
damn, like, you know what I'm saying, like, did that just really happen, like, you know what I mean, like, people start dying off rip,
yeah,
you're like, oh wow, okay,
yeah, man.
And so yeah, it's really good. Yeah, no necks in this one. You gotta stop and watch this one.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
speaking of excavation, I don't know, did you see the new Indiana Jones trailer?
Yeah,
what do you think? It has a girl from Fleabag.
It's one of those things where it's like Rambo to me. Can y'all just stop? Please? Like,
I don't see why.
I don't understand why. I was almost done with it when the Crystal Skull out with Shia LaBeouf. I was like, almost at that point, like, why is this still happening? So, like, to me, I think they just need to stop. Like, it could be good. It could be bad. It's one of those things, like, why did Rambo make Rambo?
Yeah.
You know? Like, from First Blood to the very last one, you're still acting like this is a thing, you know? It's like, and the same thing with the Rocky Creed. It's like, stop. There's you a know, new, you're yeah. hanging on to these
You don't
things.
Want to see a new Creed?
No.
I didn't watch the second one.
I just wanted it to be what it is. Like, Creed was fine. Boom. Got it.
Yeah.
All right, Sylvester Stallone, leave it alone. You know? So it's, to me, I'm like, I saw the trailer and I'm just like,
Jonathan Majors, you know, feeling it.
Mm. What about you?
Creed?
Yeah. No, just the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, I don't get it.
Yes.
I don't get it. I do like that it has a girl from Fleabag. Mm-hmm. She's great. But it's a weird role for her because Fleabag's like super dark.
Mm-hmm.
She's funny, so I'm sure that'll be good. But it's like, damn, that's what you chose to do after like winning an Emmy for a show you wrote, you know, and like produced and acted in. Like, and then you go do Indiana Jones. And he's like 85
years
old.
Yeah, like, come on.
It's horrible. So, I don't know. I'm not really, I don't think I'm a fan of it.
Me either. I'm not going.
But I will go see Avatar, though. I ain't going to
care. I'm not seeing that either.
I want to see it.
I have a vendetta against Avatar ever since back in, like, the first one came out.
What did Avatar do to you?
Well, it's just another version of another...
Dances with Wolves and all that.
Well, another culture invading another one, which has been done over and over. So they're taking that same theme with Avatar. Oh, this indigenous people, and then this guy becomes and feels passionate and sympathetic for him, can't walk, and then he somehow is able to join them and become one of them. And oh yeah, we're one of you guys now, and they're destroying our land. Sounds like Indian, sounds like, you know, African, sounds like any other graphic that was taken over by something else, and now we're trying to popularize it almost. A sense like that's what they're glorifying. They're just taking over like Thanksgiving for Avatar, essentially, is what it is.
Okay, so I got another one for you, rapid fire. Mm-hmm. This comes out Friday, Emancipation, starring Will Smith. Apple TV, are you gonna watch?
I'm on the fence with Will. I really am, because like he hasn't done anything, and all the things he's done recently to me haven't been that good. So
all the comment section shit just keeps saying, why do we have to have another movie?
That's
about
what I'm
slaves?
Saying. And I'm on that kick. The same thing. Why? Why do we got to keep going back to this?
Can I ask a crazy question?
Yeah. What's up?
Okay, I guess maybe Roots, but what's the goat slave movie? What's the goat?
Kuta Kinte.
Roots?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then after that.
Probably Color Purple for me.
Okay.
And then after that.
Do you fuck with Django in that or no?
No, not really.
Will Smith was supposed to be Django.
I did not know that.
Yeah, originally.
I think I like Jamie Foxx, though, better.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Just like Will Smith was supposed to be Neo, but I think I would take Keanu Reeves in that, too.
It would have been a different vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, difference between you and me? I make this look good.
Oh, my God. I could
it just would have been like...
Yeah, I could not see Will Smith being Neo or, you know... The other one you just mentioned. I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm over these cliche type of movies. Give me something new. You know, like, it's cool to be reinvented of something that you want to, like, do, like Troll. Mm-hmm. Actually, was like you said, you know, if you want to, like, give homage or pay respects to something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no originality when you do things like that at all. Because it's all been done, I feel like. So
I feel like Will Smith, after not getting... The Matrix, tried to like get Matrix-esque movie. Like he did. Remember iRobot?
Yeah, iRobot.
Which I was thinking about iRobot. iRobot because of the AI.
Yeah.
Remember Sonny in it? Mm-hmm. He could draw a picture.
Yep.
It's like, that's the best you could do, Sonny. Mm-hmm.
And then the other one where him and his son, Jaden, go back to Earth. It's still like
After Earth. Scientology.
It's just like you said, everything he's done has been kind of like almost on that sci-fi type of thing.
Mega blockbuster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now he's doing this.
Yeah.
But it's like 12 Years a Slave.
It's supposed to be good.
All these historical.
Oh, 12 Years a Slave is really good.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, those pull on a culture so you can go watch it, right? And get, you know, and also get good views and plays because it's well acted and whatever. Well, but what if you just, I'm just saying, like, something more 2020, you know, just give me something new. Like, you know, what if they made something George Floyd or made something else that was like, the guy can't breathe, you know, in New York. Like, make a movie about something that's happened in our generation, in our time.
Well, they've
like
done like Fruitvale Station.
True. But like another Emmett Till movie, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they're gonna like keep producing more movies focusing on predominant things like that, when they should do more things that are related to predominant today's society, I think.
So this director, his name's Antoine Fuqua.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he's done. It seems that he has done... Oh, God. I hope that's not what he's done. Well, it's saying Training Day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's right. Oh, no, he was a producer for this. There was a Training Day TV show?
Oh, I did not know that. I did not know that.
No, he's like a producer, it seems. It doesn't seem... Wait, no, my bad. I don't know. This guy, I don't know who he is. He's a black gentleman, though,
mm-hmm.
which is good because, I mean, you know, when you have movies like Django, mm-hmm. and you have Quentin Tarantino writing and directing, it kind of feels weird.
Yeah. Plus, what they said with The Harder They Fall when they came out and made that, essentially, at him.
Yeah. Wait, you what's know, the...
That was the one with...
But who was the director?
Regina, oh, yeah, was yeah, it Regina yeah. King in that one? Did she do that?
She was in it.
I mean, I know she was in it. I think she might have acted it and did it, though. Let me check.
Maybe. I don't know. She did One Night in Miami. I don't know. It came out around the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think she did do that.
All right, let's push on in. One Deepak. Chippendales.
Oh, yeah, yo.
TV series. That's not the full name. Chippendales.
Remember the cartoon?
On Hulu. What is it called?
Chippendale, the cartoon.
Yeah. But, oh, Welcome to Chippendales. So, this is one of Hulu's newest shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Hulu. All their shit looks the same. I can't explain it, but it, like, the Tyson show, Pam and Tommy, it all has, like, this almost, like, oversaturated color palette. Like, it looks almost, like, goofy, cartoony. I can't explain it, but you can just tell it's a Hulu show. I am on board. I think there's 4 episodes out. I've seen the first 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. It's fun. It's funny. It's dark. There's, you know, of course, there's got to be murder and stuff like that. But yeah, you just get to see the advent of the male stripping show, Chippendales. Would you ever go to a Chippendale show?
I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't. So,
why you wouldn't?
Yeah.
Because you might have better things to do.
Well, I mean, I still would like to say I've been to one. So yeah. I'd be like, yeah, at least I said I want one.
Yeah. Or the Thunder Down Under. That's another one. Yeah, I don't know. I would 100% go. You get to just see how the goofy thing started. Kumail Nanjiani is the lead. He's this Indian man who was a gas station attendant. Damn, I'm going to have to cut that out so the listeners.
Seriously.
Not on video. If I can ever get my computer to work to put out video, that's a whole nother issue. But he was a gas station attendant who saved up all his money for like 6 years, got $40,000, and spent it all on a nightclub. It was a backgammon club was the idea. Didn't work out. Tried a bunch of things. Eventually landed on male strippers. It's just entertaining, you know, kind of like Wednesday Addams. It's the same type of energy, you know. It's not going to win any awards. But it is like a page turner type show where you're just in it. You're in on it. Like, it's fun. And there's a crime involved as well and sleaziness. You know, it's got that Hollywood late 70s, early 80s energy where like things were changing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're moving out of like disco and more into like whatever the 80s was. What was the 80s? What was the music? New wave?
The 80s is right when hip-hop broke. Because remember, the 70s was disco.
Yeah, but this isn't like hip-hop.
Oh, okay. I was just...
I mean, yes, but after... I'm talking more for like party music.
I would still think it would be disco, right? Like,
but no, it wouldn't be like Rick James.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, soul, funk.
Yeah. More like that. But Kumail, so
I'm like Shaft and all that good stuff back then.
Shaft! Well, Shaft was 70s. Remember all that?
Yeah, but like I'm going to get you sucker. Some of the movies still had some of his music's behind it.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So I'm not swiping it up. I'll swipe it up later when I finish it.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 4 or 5 episodes in. Check it out. And then I want to move into something else slightly related. So Kumail Nanjiani, he was on that show, Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm. Internals.
He was in Eternals, and when he got the Eternals role, this guy is a comedian, he clearly got on HGH and steroids, and he looks crazy now. Like, his jaw is so big, and especially now that he's not, like, cut like he was for Eternals, not only did his jaw get bigger, he now has, like, more, like fat on his face, so he just looks fucking crazy, dude. Like, he don't look right. Same as Zac Efron, clearly got on steroids and HGH, and it like makes your jaw bigger. It just, it's like you go through puberty again. And Tiger King, I'm going to tie this into Tiger King, Liver King, not Tiger King, the other one. Liver King came out recently. I don't know if y'all know this guy, but just do yourself a favor. Google Liver King. He came out saying that he is, in fact, on steroids after denying it on camera and podcast.
It's like, why would you deny it, bro?
Over and over. Well, because he sells... It's called like ancestral supplements.
Capitalism is just another way to get some of you guys baited in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So if you take his liver supplements, you know, you'll become an alpha male, mm-hmm. you know, and you'll be able to, you'll have more energy.
Hey guys,
you'll conquer women.
You are already alpha males before he, you know, decided
hey, kings,
to do this.
Hey, kings.
Just so y'all know that, you know what I'm saying?
You're already
you, don't
alpha
you don't have to listen to these guys.
Hello.
You know, thank you.
We're already kings.
Yeah.
But so the email came out. And it basically, and a lot of people have already predicted this, mm-hmm. but basically he was just like a guy who, I'm not sure what he did, but he had money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the strong guy.
Right.
And then he linked up with this company. And this company, because he had a whole email that laid it all out to the person he was trying to get steroids from, mm-hmm. who he was. And it was like $30,000 a month worth.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like a lot. But basically, this company was like, hey, we want you to be the face of our, you know, supplements. We want it to look like, you know, it's all you. You need to record like this many days a month, you know, this many months a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put you up in a house. Like we're going to create this whole personality, basically. And that's what he is. He's like a literal, like, fake ass actor in real life, you know,
mm-hmm.
And he's making a ton of money. He's got the whole family involved. And he kind of lays all that out and he says he's in his 40s and he can't get the gains he used to get. And like, especially he says, even my stubborn, says something about his stubborn back fat. But yeah, so he's on like, and it's like six different supplements that he's on or whatever. So then, it leaks, it's real, and then he comes out and makes a video where he's shirtless and has his hat backwards. And he's like, I'm sorry, family. I lied to you. And he has like a lisp. It's so good. But yeah, so Liver King is a fraud.
Oh,
I just thought y'all should know that. And I was just linking to Kumal, who is also on steroids, even Chris Hemsworth, like, you know?
Yeah.
Because Chris Hemsworth is probably in his 40s now, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's 40, yeah.
And it's just like, you can't keep that up.
Yeah, you can't keep that up.
Same as like Hugh Jackman.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, Vin Diesel, I think, yeah. He's on the donuts now.
He's still cut, bro. Yeah, you roll up on him if you want. Think he on some donuts?
I would never.
All right, then don't say don't be on here on this podcast capping like you gonna roll up and say he eat donuts. Come on, man, put some respect on my guy name, bro.
But Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Steroids,
oh, that's perfect. Oh yeah, know? Yeah. Look at his hair. I mean, look at all the veins popping out. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
There's this guy on Instagram. And he goes to gyms and asks people if they're natty or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Liver King, and Liver King says, he's like, of course I'm natural. You know, he was on it.
He's just so all about
he's a liar.
Yeah.
And he admits that he was like, I lied. But there's one guy this guy asks, and I mean, the guy is like bald, has a crazy like beard or whatever. And mm-hmm. he just looks like so old. He's like, of course I'm not natural. I'm 22. It's like, Jesus Christ. This guy looks like he's like 45, but I guess all the HGH will do that to you. Reign Supreme, another
Netflix
Dana watch.
Yeah. I wanted to like bring the song up. I'm coming home because like I've been watching so much Netflix that I've been like steered away from other things.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know how I've been bouncing around Paramount, Apple.
Yeah.
But now I've just been in this Netflix rux, like, and Reign Supreme is actually based on a true story, and it's the upbringing of French hip hop in the 1980s.
And oh, 80s.
Yeah, the 1980s. it's a little bit of factual, but the documentary is mixed in with a little bit of story. So I'm trying to mix in a little bit of both. All right. So it's French hip hop. The band formed in 1989. And it kind of reminds me of Our Chemistry. That's why I think I liked it so much. It features a rapper, Joey Starr, which is me, if I had to say. And then it has MC Cool Shen, which is you. And he's this Portuguese guy that has a rat tail throughout the whole thing. But he's like, but he's really good at soccer as it starts off. And his dad is like investing him to get into soccer. And it's they live in France, of course. Mm-hmm. But at the time in France, a lot of Latin and Portuguese were being racially discriminated back then. Just like that movie Athena I was talking about.
Yeah.
So it has that same premise where, you know, this guy is Portuguese and it seems like the only way out for him is soccer. So his family's investing him. This is Cool Shin. And then there's Joey Starr, which was me, whose dad is like an abusive. None of this, of course, their lives reflect us. It's just their chemistry. So let me just get that out of the way. So Joey Starr, his dad's like an alcoholic, beats him, has like kids with mad different ladies, and his dad forces him to go into the military. I guess in France, they're obligated to join the military after they graduate high school or something like that. I don't know, because they sent this letter and his dad came home and is like, yes, I got someone to meet you. And there's like officers there to take him in to serve his country. But his homeboy, Cool Shin, found a way to avoid the draft or whatever. He said his homeboy had some pills to make him crazy or whatever, or just to get him not, yeah, you know, serve. So he ended up not serving, but his homeboy, Joey Starr, ends up going in and serving. So they first meet each other. Breakdancing is in France right now. Yeah. So like, that's big. So Joey Starr and Cool Shin, he's a soccer player, so he gives up all the soccer. Like, no. He even has a team to like, wants a like full ride and everything. He's like fully invested in breakdancing. So then Joey Starr is fully invested. So they form a group, like a little breakdancing group, and they become really good. But Joey Starr ends up joining the military because his dad sends him off. So then Cool Shin becomes a banker, you know, because he has to make money.
Damn.
You know, like, yeah, right? So they're still staying in touch this whole time, you know, like he's calling him while he's in, you know, in serving his time in the military, and they're staying in touch. And so they begin to getting to rap. But this all starts off with this one white guy going to San Francisco.
They're called NTM.
Yeah, NTM. And they go to this. Yeah, you threw me off. So this DJ goes to San Francisco. He comes back and he starts to like try to spin records. He's already big in the hip hop, and he's trying to tell all of his friends like, hip hop is the new wave. This is it. Like, this is what we need to be doing right now. So, but in France, hip hop is not big at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not even what it is. So then you have, because this story on Netflix follows two different people. It follows a DJ who's on the cusp of hip hop in France. And then it follows the two guys, Supreme NTM, which come up at the same time as this hip hop uprising does in France.
Yeah.
So long story short, this dude, Joey Starr, finishes time served, and him and Cool Shin get back together and they form a rap group, which is, like you said, NTM.
Yeah.
And it actually stands for Nikwi Tamar, which means fuck your mom, which in France translates to still like fuck you.
Yeah.
So that's what literally their name stands for. So they get together and they're pretty much are the entrepreneurs of hip hop in France.
Yeah.
And so they sign to Sony Records. They do these deals. So it's a really good story about being determined and friendship, sticking together and seeing things through, because these dudes are now known for being the starters of hip hop in France.
Yeah. I'm looking for them. And, I'm having trouble.
Here on my computer. I got all their stuff right there. That's them at the bottom.
Supreme NTM?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, just use it. Turn it around. You can just use mine. So they end up signing a deal. They get 20,000 a piece. So there's a DJ, Cool Shin, and Joey Starr. So Joey Starr is just like the person in the group that's just like Joey Badass, essentially. Like, yeah. Drinks, party, not like saying Joey has done that, but that's his flow. His flow's like mimics that type of delivery. Cool Shin is the dude that has like technical delivery.
Yeah.
So they eventually meet up with this guy that went to the DJ that went to San Francisco, who's been struggling to get on hip hop. He has his own radio show where he features Joey Starr and Cool Shin. And then they're in the uprising begins, right? And this DJ also gets fame because he's the one of the first DJs to start scratching over in France.
Yeah.
And they start throwing these parties and stuff outside and having breakdancing and graffiti. It encapsulates graffiti, breakdancing, and hip hop in the start of France. So it's like super educational and it's based on true story, which is why I love it so much because it's overdubbed. So it's just like, I had to do my research on the guys. And that's when you're looking at my computer now. And these, like I said, this is an actual group. So when you watch the show on Netflix, you can take it in and like as reality, like it's, mm-hmm. it's legit. And so it just shows the uprising of hip hop. It's 6 episodes. And I'm giving this straight up a 3 power swipe. Cause this is how good this was. It has a lot. It packs in a lot in 6 episodes. I mean, packs in both of their lives, what they went through, and how they came together. And so, like I said, they started off breakdancing. They went from breakdancing to graffitiing together. Then they went to just a hip hop group. And then they got successful. You know what I mean? Like got a record deal. So it was just, it's tight. You get to see Analog Gear. You get to see 16 tracks. You get to see all this old stuff that people were using in the 1980s. Yeah, scratch same. Records, paperweights to hold down the table, like scratching the quarters out on that vinyl to get the sound and the, you know, whatever. Oh, so like, it's just so good.
Yeah.
And like I said, when listeners watch it, if hopefully you watch it, because like I said, it's that powerful and dynamic. It's like when you watch the Andy Warhol documentary, you're like, man, it makes me want to, you know, be
create.
This was like literally, because we almost came together on the same sense. Like we knew each other from work. We like movies.
Yeah.
These dudes came together because breakdancing. They saw breakdancing in Paris. Yeah. Like they're kids at the time. Mm-hmm. And they go to Paris and they're like, what is this? Whoa, breakdancing. So they're both memorized by it. They're like, whoa. So at first they don't like each other. Joey Starr comes from poverty. Cool Shin comes from a family that has a little bit of money.
Okay.
So they're from opposite side of the tracks. But Cool Shin actually bangs with the lower side. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's like, doesn't disown where he comes from, but he's just like, he is immersed in hip hop and graffiti. So he's like all about it. Yeah. You know, he drops his soccer career because he like obviously had a whole soccer career. Yeah. So he like drops it and becomes immersed in this whole like underground hip hop. And they have this one episode where Run DMC, which I had to look up and make sure it was true. They actually do a show in France where these guys are from, because I can't pronounce where they're from. Because you can look right here where they're from. Yeah. So Run DMC go over there, do a show. They end up getting in a fight at the show because they're saying, yeah, come on, France. Yeah, motherfuckers, let's go. And France at the time didn't know that meant let's get hype. Like, hey, so they thought Run DMC
was trying to fight.
We're trying to fight. So they end up throwing bottles and shit at him. And like, so they had to stop the show.
Oh, damn.
And I looked it up and it's true. They had a shot. The show Run DMC was over there and that's literally sick. Had a shot. Yeah. So those dudes, Cool Shin and Joey Starr, were actually at the show. And so that's when they got the idea that, yo, we can do this. This is hip hop. We can, you know, we can do that. So they actually had a show at that same spot and they were supposed to have Big Daddy Kane and Kool G to come play the show, but they didn't show up.
Yeah.
So these guys get on stage and they're like, hey, whatever, man. We know you guys want to see them, but we're not them.
Yeah.
This is us.
Yeah.
So we're going to play. And they just start that attitude, right? Yeah. And they're just like, I don't care. They're from the area. They don't give up
to the occasion. They
literally, and so that by the show, everybody's like,
yeah,
bouncing their heads. And they're then like, the spaghetti, next, and then spaghetti. The next morning, they get a call from a label. So literally, like that, they got a call the next morning from a label. They sign a label, and that was literally the start of like the France.
What do they call that? Seize the moment. Seize.
But I highly, 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 highly recommend watching this show. It is a power 3. And the actors in this, the kids from France, they are like spot on. They may not like look like them, but the story, I mean, it's, if you have an appreciation from like boom bat, old Analog Records, and just people trying to make a way, like literally make a way in music, you'll have nothing but profound respect for the group Supreme, NTM, and respect for how hip hop developed in France, how it was in America. And then this one guy just comes over, he was in San Francisco, and it starts off, he's like walking through the woods. It looks like it's a movie, a horror film. And he's like looking, he's walking, looks sketch. And then he pulls up to a group of black people playing hip hop in like a party. Like, it looks like a backyard party.
Yeah.
And he's just one dude from France, white dude, just walking, smoking his cigarette. Looks out of place as hell.
Yeah.
He walks up to the DJ, and the guy's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, because they don't know who he is, you know? Like, they think he might be suspect. They don't know. He's like, no, I just want to watch. He says, I just want to look.
Yeah.
And he takes that, goes back to France. He's like, bro, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And then that's how it starts off. And he tries to pop it off.
Yeah.
So it's just from that, and it just grows. It's just, it's amazing. It's an amazing series. It's like Top Boys from then. But it's based off graffiti music and art.
And it's French. And it's French. Which has got its own swag.
Which it has its own swag. So it's like, it's highly good. And I'm telling you guys, if you watch this, you'll be like, Dana, thank you for doing your job on this podcast. Because literally, it's worth the watch. That's, and like Netflix, like seriously, I'm glad you brought me back in, reels me back in, you know, like I needed that. I've been going out, not cheating on you necessarily, but yo, yeah. So I don't know. I can't rave about the series enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really going to watch it after this podcast. Just so you guys know, Bullet Train is on Netflix, so I am going to go watch that, so I have my own little review after that. So now I can be like, Seth, Dana watches what Seth watches.
I would really like
for you to see it. So I am, I'm totally, if I had time, if I wasn't so immersed in The Troll and Supreme and this other one I watched, I would have probably watched it, but it was 2 hours, Bullet Train, so I couldn't fit it in, but I am going to watch it. So I will have my full review for the next pod about that. But this one right here, like, if you love Top Boy, you love anything hip hop, if you love any of that, and me, it brings me back to just growing. Like, I don't want to say my age, but, you know, I'm a 90s baby. Grew up in the 80s, or born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. Right. Say like that. So I was on the teetering edge of breakdancing almost coming out, but it's still heavily in. So I got to see some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So it just, like, hits home.
My name is Dana, and I'd like to say,
it's good.
This shows 3 power swipes, so watch it today. Anyway, all right, that's a high praise.
It's good. Hopefully, you can take the time out and watch it yourself.
Next up, another Netflix show, movie, documentary, Senior. Robert Downey Jr. and his dad made a documentary about Robert Downey Jr. Senior. Robert Downey Sr. Robert Downey.
Say it again.
Robert Downey Jr. Sr. and then even Robert Downey's son's in it, but his son has like a goofy ass Hollywood name, of course. Man, this is a really, it's an interesting documentary. It's very loose, but it's beautiful. I kind of understand where he's coming from, because I've kind of done some stuff like this myself with my grandparents. He basically is recording like the last like couple years of his dad's life, and also kind of going through it with him, like going through, you know, his start in Hollywood, certain movies he's made, how he dealt with Robert Downey Jr. when he was a full-blown drug addict and then sober.
He was a full-blown, but I tell you what.
Yeah.
I remember watching those court cases when he would be going to court all jacked up. Uh-huh. He was like, damn, bro.
Well, his dad let him smoke weed and shit when he was like 11. He just was like, his dad's inspiring as fuck, because he's like, he's probably his Jewish guy. He's just like this like boring Jewish man, you know, like just like there's nothing like that. I guess, like, if you look at him, you just think he's just a normal guy. But when he talks and the way he sees life is very inspirational. He did that movie Putney Swope. He just has like he was kind of a provocateur is what they called him.
When people say they're ahead of their time.
Way ahead. Like that. Way ahead. But he's so low-key, though. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You know, a lot of people, I feel like, who make movies like that wear that on their sleeve. You would never know with this guy.
Like Tarantino or like Scorsese, they wear their stuff on their sleeve.
Somewhat. I mean, Scorsese, you know, he's like the GOAT just off of his glasses, the frames of his and seriously, his suit wearing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
This dude was just like a real chill guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 6'4".
Like a Duplass?
Kind of, honestly.
Not in the limelight. They're not in the limelight. Duplass brothers are far from limelight.
No, but his dad did like to party and stuff when he was young. And did drugs and things as well. He just would never know. And he just had an interesting... All his movies were like satire. You know, everything had like a big message and all that. And honestly, from what I've seen, I've never seen a single one of his movies. Mm-hmm. He was sloppy. I don't think he cared about like cinematography. I think he just like was more about the message first, which is cool to me. I love shit like that. I love when it's kind of like punk rock, you know, it's like, fuck it. I don't care. Like moving on. Like, yeah, that wasn't the shot we exactly wanted. Fuck it. Moving on. Like we're coming in under budget, you know, like just really interesting stuff. And a lot of critiques on black culture, which is kind of weird, but apparently there were good takes from how he's respected in the game. But he had two movies. Putney Swope, that's the one that the Atlanta episode about the first black CEO of Disney. That one's basically based on Putney Swope, and then which is about a black guy who like somehow becomes like on the board of directors for an ad agency after being like a janitor or something like that because of like a flaw in the voting system. And then there's another one called Greaser's Palace. That's the other, that's the one I think that's supposed to be known as like his best. Just really interesting, oddball dude. It's great to it kind of is like, oh, that's why Robert Downey Jr. is so fucking cool. Yeah, because his dad is so weird, you know. The last movie he ever did, he's a big New York guy. In the last movie he ever did, he just filmed a park.
That's it?
A documentary, yeah. He went to a park for like, I don't know, 40 days and just like filmed just whatever happened at that park. Just could be anything. And it's like the editing on it from the clips I've seen is just real creative. And it's just full of weirdos in New York City, you know? But that's what he like towards the end of his career, he was like, I really just wanted to point the camera at things and let life, you know, happen and like tell the story. So and you walk around, you talk with him, you also see the decline of his health. He has Parkinson's.
Damn.
Yeah. And you get to see like
it's Robert. A shitty one.
Yeah. And you get to see Robert Downey Jr. and his son like go hang out with him for like the last time. I mean, you see up until his demise, which he died two Julys ago. So it's like a real deep documentary. And it's also kind of like the kind of documentary that he would make, you know, where it's like, it's not even about how good it is, you know, because it's more for Robert Downey Jr., I think, than anything.
Yo, Netflix is just on a roll, aren't they?
Yeah, well,
we're both immersed.
I think they give people the most creative control, the artists, because you also had the Jonah Hill one,
and you see he's coming out with a movie with Eddie Murphy.
Wait,
on
what?
Netflix?
I did not see that. Really? I heard that he just changed his name to Hill,
something like that. But yeah, they showed a preview for it, so it seems like Robbie Downey Jr. just that. And now you got that Stew, which I haven't watched with Jonah Hill, but he has a movie coming out with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. To me, Netflix, they just have the most money to let artists just kind of have creative freedom.
Yeah.
Because I think Netflix, what we've been saying is that like, it's just, they have the most eyes.
They do.
Everybody just watches whatever they put out, you know?
It can't help it.
Right? I mean, they're like a tsunami of content.
Content. You just can't get around it.
It's like, how can you keep it up,
bro?
You know,
and like we were on Disney kick for a little bit, but
well, Disney's
I still can't
flat
even
right now.
Exactly. But I can always go to Netflix and find something.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Is Disney did the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special?
It hasn't come out yet. Okay. But is it going to come out? But still,
I'm not hyped.
Yeah, I'm not hyped on
it. Now, the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer,
the new one looks fire. Yeah, it looks like the best one they're going to come out with from Disney.
It looks sad.
Yeah,
it looks like Rocket might get his demise.
Yeah.
Oh man, that looks good though.
Yeah, it does look good.
It looks heavy.
Yeah,
you could tell like this is
about to be some it. This might be the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the Ant-Man one, not so much.
I heard that he dies in this one.
Who?
Paul Rudd, supposedly.
I don't know.
That like they're going to end it. Supposedly, someone told me at work that this is supposed to be like the last Ant-Man, which I'm cool with because I'm not a big Ant-Man fan.
No spoilers.
Well, it wouldn't be a spoiler if I'm wrong. So,
I mean, I'm about to talk about something about White Lotus that actually applies to that. Okay. Leaks.
Oh, okay.
These leaks, man. But anyway, let me swipe this up real quick. Mm-hmm. I give it two swipes. This is the kind of movie, if you're really into filmmaking and filmmakers, this is the movie for you. And honestly, I just love Robert Downey Jr. so much because of...
Seriously.
For like fucking, I don't know. Was it, he played Iron Man for what, 10 years?
Yeah, supposedly they're thinking about doing another Iron Man, but it's supposed to be his daughter.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Just spare me.
Seriously. But,
Don Cheadle, though, is doing, what is it called, Iron Wars or something? But it's it was going to be a TV show, and then they scrapped it.
I'm mad that they're doing Willow as a TV show.
Now it's going to be a movie. Wait, yeah, what is that?
Fucking horrible, man. Come on, man. Leave Val Kilmer's greatness alone.
It kind of looks good, though.
No, it doesn't. It does. No, it doesn't. It does.
It does look like they put some money into it.
I mean,
it.
Damn, they have the original guy from the original. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, but still, though, I don't give a damn. Aww. Leave Willow alone, man. It was such a good classic. And then when I tell people, like, my wife hasn't seen it. She doesn't even know. It was like, we're going to have to take... I told her we were going to sit down and watch it, but...
She's going to love it.
Bruh, it's like a classic. It's like, if you thought Val Kilmer was good in Tombstone, wait till you see Willow. It's like, come on, man. Like, yeah, but I don't want to go off topic. But yeah, I hate how they're making it a series, though. Because they're taking something that we used to love that's like an archaic film, nostalgic, and they're going to turn it into it. It's like they're doing with Karate Kid. They're turning it, you know, how they did with Cobra Kai. It's like they're taking things
that we use. It's intellectual property,
bro. It really is. I know.
Like, there will be a Star Wars fucking movie or show every year till the day we die.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Woo! Real quick, I want to talk about White Lotus, because I just, to me, best TV show of the year so far.
I haven't watched it. I can't go that far. But from what other people that have watched it and heard, says it's good.
It's spicy, man. So. It's spicy. But here's something that happened to me recently. I had a coworker who
just said some shit.
And I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Said some shit, like foul shit or something. No,
conspiracy theories. Oh, okay. And I was like, hey, look, I'm gonna be honest. Look, don't ever do that with me again, because I know everything you just said is going to be on the fucking new episode, because I'm pretty sure that's probably a leak. I don't think people are that smart or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a little too accurate. And lo and behold,
it was true.
Yeah. Definitely.
So how did they get
one and a half? Like, so
how
one,
did they get it? You think?
The internet, forum, Reddit. People leak. I mean, people work on the sets and stuff. They leak it, you know, one way or another. There's so many people.
Definitely Reddit's the number one source.
Yeah, like they get the scripts go around. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like an extra on the set, a PA, They get the call sheets and stuff. But anyway, it happens. But like, if it's Game of Thrones, this is something I care about.
But Game of Thrones didn't have a leak, though. They never leaked anything about that. They didn't leak. Which is crazy.
I didn't really see any leaks this year. But the old ones did.
Yeah, the old ones definitely.
But with this one, I was kind of like, because I actually really care about this show, you know, and I want it to be a surprise. Because White Lotus always only been two seasons, but they begin with a death. You don't know who it is, and then by the end of it, you know, you're going to find out, and the finale is this Sunday. But, man, y'all stay off these goddamn forums and just live a little, you know? Just live like on the edge.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, to me, watching a movie or a TV show that's, like, real captivating is like opening a Christmas gift that you don't know what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, that, like, surprise is, it's a hard feeling to get. You don't get that.
Good analogy.
You know? And it's like, don't fuck this up.
That's what I like about series in general. Like, once it's really good, it's like opening up a present. You're like, this is great.
Yeah.
And then
or the ones that sucks.
Yeah, but it's a gift sucks. But exactly.
The anticipation, though, is a great feeling as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. But yeah, I told her, though, I was like, all right, you better. No more talk about
don't
the White Lotus.
Don't talk to me ever again.
Yeah, you fucked this shit
don't
up.
Don't you ever
me.
Talk to me about the White Lotus.
Not till the finale's over. But... yeah, but there's still some stuff that
can you call this person out on the pod?
No,
they don't listen.
No, no, no.
They listen. They don't listen, then it doesn't matter.
She has listened to one episode.
One episode. That means you can say something. She will probably never know.
Hey, yo, we have some new listeners, though. We had a very high number of listeners last week, so
shout out to it?
I don't know, but thank y'all.
No, who is the person that said the Live Lotus? Tell us.
Her name's Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth. Oh, you, Elizabeth. You can't do that. You can't do that. Especially be right about it. Ah.
I'm just
Shame on you. Shame on Seth for listening, too. He shouldn't have listened. He should have just closed his ears. You'd be like, you know what? Don't talk
to me.
Well,
like with House of D.
Don't talk to me.
With House of D, I went and read all. I know the fate of every character. Mm-hmm. I wasn't that interested.
But will you go tell people about it?
No.
Exactly. Because you know it's your duty not to.
Right.
But Elizabeth.
Like with House of D. Yeah.
It's your duty not to tell anybody.
Well, she doesn't know, but she didn't know better.
She didn't know that you were involved.
Well, no, they fool you. Because, like, there's people out there who really care about internet karma.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Reddit, it's like, they really just want pats on the back. So it's like, they'll get a leak, and then they'll disguise it as a theory, quote unquote. Uh-huh. And then people are like, you are so smart. You know, like, mm-hmm. they literally do it for that weird gratification. That's weird. It's like, you lonely, lonely creature.
Yeah, that's super lonely.
So it's like, they disguise the leak as a theory. You know, gotcha. For internet points. Mm-hmm, it's just fucking stupid. Like, it's weird. It's weird. But anyway, moving on to what is it? It's called Remastered.
Remastered. The Lion Share Seeks for Justice. But that's just the article right here I'm reading.
Hey, how's it go? The Lion Share Seeks for Justice.
It's actually called Remastered. The Lion Share. The Lion Sleeps Tonight Story. That's what it's called.
Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, a little nice little delay too. Sounds like you're in like a real dark chamber there. Can you see? Wow, that was really good. Oh, man. That was a good high-pitched falsetto version of that.
Wait, you keep going. I'm going to try to find what pitch it is on the auto-tune.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to read this from Decider.com because it was written by Benjamin H. Smith. So he encapsulates the synopsis of this. Eloquently described documentary. So once upon a time, a Zulu man stepped up to a microphone in the only recording studio in Africa and sang 13 notes that went on to earn something like $15 or $16 million. The journalist and writer Rahman Milan tells us at the story in the beginning, almost none of which came back to him or after he died. His descendants in South Africa, Milan, our tour guide, as Trace the song journey, also one of the characters in the saga. So Rahlan is, long story short, he's from South Africa. And he was living in South Africa at the time when they were still slaves. He even recounts to him saying he remembers dropping off the maids and stuff when they were on vacation. So long story short, he becomes a journalist. He leaves South Africa and he comes out with a book called My Traitorous Heart, where he talks about exploitation of black culture and him being white privileged and being ignorant to the bliss of what he was doing and most South African white people were doing to Africans there. So he writes this book for the Rolling Stones or this article because he leaves South Africa and writes about it. And then he sees about all the atrocity that's going on during the apartheid. He goes back to Africa. South Africa. Long story short, someone puts him on because he likes to prize himself, Rahlan Milan, as this guy who is big into anything South Africa culture, music, anything. So he puts him on to that song, which I was telling you about how it starts off as Zulu Man steps into a microphone, sings his notes, which is the song Lion Sleep at Night, and makes a lot of money. And his four daughters in this documentary, which is three at the time when that is shooting, one dies of HIV. They settle for an undisclosed amount. Long story short, after all the money is taken out, each sister gets equivalent to $250,000 each. Which, if you just remember what I said, the song makes $15 to $16 million.
Yeah.
And now in the pre-production, I was telling Seth how, you know, this guy, Paul or Pete Seeger, you know, in the 1950s, was one of the first guys to start was sing this song. And then by like the 1970s or 80s, the Tokens come along and hacks George Wise to help rewrite the song. And eventually Disney works its way into the Lion King and they have the song. Long story short, Zalman Linda, who is the guy who originated this song, started this song in 1939. He was a worker in Johannesburg, South Africa. It was from the area called Zolo Africa, where he worked as a janitor in a hotel, and it was custom back then for all the guys, I guess, maybe guys and female, I'm not too sure, but in the documentary, all these guys would get together, African guys, would make choruses, like different groups, and sing, and whoever had the best songs, you know, would
like
win.
Like a swing group or quartet. Like
quartets, troubadours, or something like that. Well, Solomon King and his group had the best vocals and songs. So Gallo Records, which is the first recording studio in South Africa, gets Solomon Linda to record the song in three takes. Down the line, Solomon, so you know, doesn't know how to read or write his name. So the song is recorded. Somehow, his name is signed. Go ahead and play the song. Yeah, and that's not it. Of course, he loves to play the Limp Bizkit just so he can. But this is the original song from Solomon Linda of The Lion Sleeps at Night. It's actually pronounced Mumbuwe, not Mimbuwe, as Disney sings the song. So Solomon Linda was a black day laborer who led a vocal group called the Evening Birds, is who you're listening to now, who in 1939 recorded the original composition of Mbuwe, which means lion in his native tongue Zulu. It was a massive hit from its time, selling 100,000 copies on South Africa's Gallo Records. Few of the profits, however, made their way to Linda, who signed over his publishing rights to the label. If, as you remember, I said he didn't know how to read or write. In all probability, not even knowing what the contract said, since he couldn't read or write English. Early in the 1950s, Mbuwe made its way to America, where it was introduced by Pete Seeger's group, The Weavers. They misheard the lyrics and changed it to Wimowe, and believing it to be translated as an African folk song, claimed arranger credits and royalties that came with it. So there you go. There's the first person. So songwriter George David Wise later added the lyrics, "In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight."
And changed the title to "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." Number one single. Thank you for doing that. Was just good. I mean, number one single for Brooklyn doo-wop, the group The Tokens, which I also played for him.
The Tokens, were they all white?
Yes. Upon its release in 1961, the songwriting credit was attributed to George Wise and producer Hugo and Luigi? L-U-I-G-I? I guess Luigi?
Luigi.
Luigi. Oh, Luigi.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. U-I-G. The following year, Linda would die in his early 50s with less than $10 in his bank account.
Damn.
Sad freaking story, right? So after learning about the song's origin and knowing the millions of dollars in royalties he generated after being used in Disney's Lion King, Milan, which is the guy who I told you who's from South Africa who moved and then came back, sought out the Linda's family, which are the three sisters. After locating the sisters, he learned that they had received relative fractions of what they were owed and still lived in poverty, where their floors are dust and their walls are not even made out of sturdy structures.
Damn.
This is when he had, so they didn't know, right? The sisters are over here living, they didn't even know, right? Lion King and all this stuff has already been out. This dude Milan tells him about it. So he would lead the charge. They would appropriately compensate, aiding the family in $1.6 million lawsuit against Disney. After publicizing the case, featuring the Rolling Stone magazine, Disney would eventually settle for a significant amount undisclosed, and the Solomon Linda would be credited as one of the writers of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. But the victory celebration wouldn't last long, because after that, the lawyers ripped him off. Linda's family money was put in a trust beyond their control. So the sisters couldn't even get to it. They put it in a trust, right? So, breeding suspicion and resentment between them and the lawyers who fought on their behalf, who technically took their money, but also took their own commission from their final sum. Milan tries to broker the peace between the opposing camps, but ultimately sees the situation as an epidemic of South Africa's race relations forever stained by the legacy of the apartheid.
Damn. They got fucked.
Yep.
That's like also when you see... Hold on. That's also like you see like car accidents are like, we'll get you $200,000 for this car. It's like that lawyer's taking like 60-70% of it. Like you're going to get fucked. Like,
so what do you think, bro?
It's just sad. I mean, this has happened. I mean, that's like, it reminds me of the Hound Dog song.
You ain't nothing but a
hound dog. Yeah, he stole that from that lady. I don't even know her name. Sister or whatever, but like, and she got no credit, no money off of it. It's the same story of, it's just exploitation, and especially back then, because nowadays you got Instagram shit like Diet Prada and all these people who are gonna call you out. They're gonna, you know, make people aware of the situation, and it might not even help that much, but like you see like fashion designers ripping off like, you know, NYU students and shit like that all the time. And sometimes they get compensated for it, or at least they stop the production of it. You know what I mean? They don't make any more money off of it.
Right. I was so educated by this. Like, I did not know any of this, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
but back then, I mean, the power, what's the word? The differences of power were greater back then because of like lack of knowledge and information. So it's like, you know, companies like Disney or MGM or, you know, Paramount, all these, you know, mega companies, tons of lawyers, they know the biz, you know what I mean? They're going to take, they're going to, take these poor people for everything they have.
But in order for those girls to get anything, there was a lawyer, Owens, who wrote the copyright book for South Africa, who had a clause in there from Charles Dickens' family, who, when he passed away, left his family with nothing. So in order for his family to get anything, there was a law inducted that where you can go back and the beneficiaries of the family can receive money from their, you know, family members, whoever passed away. Yeah. So that's how the girls were even able to get that, bro. An old Charles Dickens law from British.
But also now, I think you had mentioned, after like a certain amount of years, it goes, you can use it.
It's like 25 or something long. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's longer. Because like Winnie the Pooh now, like we could make like a Winnie the Pooh movie if we wanted, and we don't have to get permission. You know what I mean? Because it's so old.
Right.
That's why I think there's this like, somebody made a Winnie the Pooh horror movie that. Yeah, recently. Yeah. Also, shout out Cocaine Bear. Have you seen the trailer for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it just sounds sad.
Yeah,
but it is always interesting to hear the origins of these things, but not shocking.
It's educational, man. You know what I mean? So,
but IMDb, like, The Lion King was also like ripped off. You know, it ripped off a Japanese movie, like Kimba or something like that.
So Disney, what are you doing out here? You know, Disney, you just go back. They do so well now, but if you think about it, it's like their history is almost like full of like stealing things.
That's what I was kind of saying, is like back then, all those huge power structures, they were just taking advantage of everybody. No one had a chance. No one knew how any of the industry worked. They're just ripping people off, exploiting people left and right, because it was like too easy, you know? It just was too easy.
Yeah.
Like, why, you know, it's like, why not, you know, because the ethical reasons, they don't give a fuck.
Like, oh, this dude can't read or write. Let's just sign. Dude, you even see the contract where they said he signed his name.
Yeah.
And the three daughters, like, he couldn't even read or write. So, like, for him to sign his name was already wrong.
Yeah.
It was like, but they put the paper in front of him. He didn't even, like the article says, he didn't even know what it probably meant.
Yeah.
They gave him a job in the record label packing vinyl. After making money and signing his rights away from songs, like,
And they were probably thinking they were doing him a favor too.
Right.
The fucked up part.
Exactly. You know? Right. So like, this is a power too for me because it's educational. You get history and you get to know where it came from. You know, like that song is popularized throughout everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it from Sandlot.
Yeah. So did I. But my like my little brother loves Lion King. You know what I mean? Like, that was a movie that moved, and the Broadway music show did more than the movie.
Oh yeah,
you know, so like
it's still making money.
Mm-hmm.
It's still making money.
And they, like I said, I was telling Seth, so their legal disclosement ended. So for Disney to keep paying them out in 2017, then Disney releases the new Lion King in 2019.
Yeah.
So it's like Disney's not. Like so clean and goody,
no, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Though, like,
no, yeah, corporation, no, right. Is, but it's just like, yeah, we like watch Disney shows, but at the same time, like, you know, they're out here doing some dirt. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like Apple, like is supposed to care about security, all that stuff. It's like, they are always trying to make themselves look better. But in the end, corporations are evil. You mm-hmm. know, they're built or made to grow yearly, exponentially. So they have to do whatever it takes, you know, they have to play dirty. That's why you have, you know, these underpaid workers in sweatshops and all this stuff, whether it's Nike, Apple, mm-hmm.
yep,
you know, right. Nike's all about mm-hmm. civil rights. Right. Like, yeah, fucking right.
Same thing with Nike skateboarding. Like, they support local skate shops in America. That's good. But the shoes are being made in sweatshops. So yeah. It's like, and I'm guilty of it. You know, I wear them, you know what course. I mean? So it's like,
I'm sure all the equipment we're using right now mm-hmm. is built in a fucking terrible place. But yeah, we're just always virtue signaling, trying to be better,
mm-hmm.
Or feel better about ourselves. But we're all kind of trash.
We're trying to be better. We're day trying. By day. As like Tim, I can't remember what the soccer player said. But
as long as there's progress.
We're trying to progress. As long as yeah. there's progress, that's what matters.
Yeah, that so, helps us.
So two power out. Swipes for this. You guys need to watch this. This is also on Netflix. I'm like sending nothing but heaters out for the listeners right now. And I guarantee these three that I just watched.
Whatever, dude. Chippendales is fire.
See the quietness of the house. It would have been good if we had the creaking sound, like whatever that, like
crickets.
The crickets and shit. You know, but
I used to have
it. I might watch it, but I'm definitely going to watch Bullet Train because you told me, you sold me that you were like, "Yo, this is you." The only reason why, yes, you know me, I'm not a big go out and go watch things. You know that, so like I wait for them to come out. Yeah. So you know I'm going to watch it.
I was definitely going to watch it. Came out on Netflix too,
right? Me too. When I was watching these things and I saw Top 10, I saw Bullet Train. I was like, "What the?"
I felt a little.
I was like, I don't even have to go pay for this on Apple or anything. I get to just watch it. I was like, "Yes."
That was weird to me.
Yeah, I'm with it. Yeah. I'm with it. For people like me, you know, who likes driving, I'm more of a drive-in guy. Since I'm here in Atlanta, I like to go drive-in. I don't like to go see things in typical, you're sitting down theaters. I like the whole experience of a drive-in theater.
Yeah.
That's just me. So now that I get to watch Bullet Train, it looks really good. It's 2 hours. I'm about to watch it tonight. So it's going to be ill.
And then, so coming up, we got, damn, it's not, I thought it would come out this weekend, mm-hmm. but. The Way of Water Avatar comes out the 15th, 16th.
Yeah, your boy will not be watching that.
I will be.
Not
and then
all.
Christmas is coming out. So we got one more episode. Oh, we could probably do two more and then Christmas. We're going to go on a Christmas break.
Yeah, we're going to go on a Christmas high. Yeah, I got the in-laws. I'll be occupied all for like a whole 2 weeks.
Maybe we'll get some kind of wrapped for the year, a Spotify wrapped for the year.
Something. Yeah.
But that's all we have this weekend. It was fun.
Yeah.
Got some good soccer stuff. Action. Ronaldo mm-hmm. is on the bench, apparently.
Right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sub him in.
We just started the Portugal.
But you know, he's getting up there. But thanks for rocking with us.
Yeah. We're going shout out to the new listeners. You know, let's
shout
go.
Shout out. We got Zach Fox. New track called Sippin' Tea.
Oh, he had a little special Sippin' episode on Abbott Elementary. It's funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He does a guest appearance.
Oh, let me do a brief... I watched Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Oh, you did?
Because I fuck with Sonic. I'm not a bad bitch. And Paramount Plus is kind of weak.
No, well, the stand right now is pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Alex Skarsgård, Whoopi Goldberg, they're doing their thing right now. I'm almost done with it. I have a
full I don't like the layout at all, though. It's kind of hard.
But the stand?
No.
No, it is. It's horrible.
It's hard to find shit.
It's bad. I thought Hulu was kind of that, but Hulu's looks way better than Paramount. Paramount's home screen.
Hulu at least is pushing up the stuff I want to see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paramount, but I guess because I'm not on it that much yet, doesn't know me. But Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is so bad. I was like, okay, there's probably only 10 minutes left. I was like, I think I might just like go to sleep. And I pressed pause to see how long, and there was an hour left. Wow. I was like, geez, it's over 2 hours long. There's no reason that movie should be over 2 hours long. Unless you just want your kids to just be zombies and like you don't want to deal with them. It has Knuckles and Tails, who like those are my faves growing up, especially Knuckles.
Tails was probably mine.
Yeah, Tails could glide too, actually. But I will say though, Jim Carrey was in his bag.
Jim Carrey?
Well, yeah, because he gets to be Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Like I was watching. I was like, we don't really have like Kevin Hart's our only guy.
I don't know about Jim Carrey anymore. He's lost it. Ever since like that whole thing with his girlfriend committing suicide and shit and all that crazy thing, damn, bro. Like he's in some, yeah, bro. Yeah. He on something, bro. I don't know, man. All
right.
Well. And then the car comedian ride thing. I remember I told you about how his episode went. I was just like, yo, Jim Carrey off of it, bro.
Yeah,
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Weird.
Yeah.
But what this happens when you play crazy people your whole life, you turn into them. All right. One swipe and Sonic Hedgehog 2. All right. Later.